Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Hi, I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Jeffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we've been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
Which is what prompted us to start this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Jeffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying these tales of the macabre and dangerous world we live in.
Yeah, the killers amongst us.
Yes, the killer in our midst.
They walk just, among us. All
you were just telling me, Mo, that you wrote to the Generation Game.
No, I wrote to Jim Will Fix It.
You wrote to Jim Will Fix It.
And I feel very ashamed.
Don't think you
because were. I was obsessed. Our last podcast, I'm sure you'll remember, was about the Bullseye Killer. And after we finished recording it, I sang the theme tune to Big Break, which was another game show that was on. When were those on? Like the 90s?
I think so.
Because I watched them when I was a kid, Bullseye. And then Big Break was one where you had to win things by playing snooker.
Yes.
And then the Generation Game was one with Bruce Forsyth used to host, and I wanted Dad to go on it with me so bad. The general premise was it was like two members of a family, like an uncle and a niece, and obviously it would have been perfect combo for me and Dad to go on because we were very good at gaming generally. And you had to sort of win, you had to do tasks, and then you won prizes.
You had to do dough.
Build things with clay.
Build things with clay. And it always ended up with our cuddly toy.
What was the one? Yeah, that when it had the conveyor belt. And you had to remember everything that was on it, and anything you remembered, you won. And it was always a cuddly toy. There was always like a washing machine and a hairdryer. What was the other one that Bruce Forsyth did another one as well as the Generation Game? You bet. Oh, I loved all those. I was a big fan of Brucey. Big, big fan.
Good.
Not so much Strictly Come Dancing, the second generation.
No.
But I did like it. Its first incarnation didn't have celebrities dancing on it. It was just real ballroom dancers.
Real ballroom dancers.
Yeah, rather than celebs. And I was fully into that.
Well, I wonder what it would have been like if Betsy had been on the conveyor belt. Rather wonderful idea.
Oh, imagine if we'd forgotten her and then we wouldn't have had her.
We wouldn't have kept her.
Not
she's the silent referee of these podcasts, isn't she? Really?
Betsy's here in every podcast. She just got up to go and say hello to Jeffrey.
So what's the week? I have a book.
You've got a book you'd like to tell us about.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of an American writer called James Salis, whose most famous work was made into a movie. It was called Drive with Ryan Gosling.
So, good movie. Very good movie. Nicholas Winding Refn or someone.
And James Salis's latest book, which I happen to just have finished, is called Sarah Jane. And it's I'm an absolute fan.
What's the name of the author, sorry?
James Salis. James Salis. I'm an absolute fan. And this latest book is about a woman with a complicated past who becomes sheriff in a small town, and her past catches up with her. She investigates a mysterious disappearance of her predecessor, for example. But it's so wonderfully poetic and so evocative of small town America and the dangers that can lurk. But if you've never read any Salis, do please, because they are all wonderfully, repay it wonderfully, like James Lee Burke. He's an absolute, I think Ian Rankin calls him one of the best of the best, and I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Best of the best.
So that's what has sort of been occupying me this week.
Reading
again, makes a nice change. it's my day job, I suppose.
It is your job.
It is my job.
One of your jobs.
Yeah, I've just received the new Le Carré, which I've got to review.
Good. So, well, we should get going.
We should.
This week, I'm excited. We're doing Dr. Crippen. doesn't need a name. I mean, he is just Dr. Crippen.
Dr. Crippen.
And we were just saying everybody knows his name, but no one knows why.
They don't.
So hopefully Jeffrey's going to tell us.
Well, it is actually a fascinating story. And it certainly deserves to be included in Blood Ties.
Great, well, let's go.
Okay. Hawley Harvey Crippen was born on the 11th of September, 1862, in Coldwater in Michigan in the United States. He studied homeopathy, particularly as it applied to the eyes and ears.
Homeopathy, just for the ignorant among us, i.e. myself, is natural remedies?
Natural remedies. Much beloved of the Prince of Wales. Indeed, much beloved of many members of the British royal family. Personally, I've never been quite convinced by it. I've tried it a number of occasions. But anyway, Crippen was well qualified. He studied at the University of Michigan and the University of Cleveland, homeopathy. He was quite a small man, 5'3", quite a luxurious moustache. If you Google him, you will see.
I'm gonna look up a picture of Dr. Crippen.
You'll see. He got married and indeed had a son called Hawley Otto Crippen. But quite suddenly, in 1892, when she was still young, his first wife, Charlotte, died of a stroke. And Crippen entrusted his son, Otto, to his parents and moved to New York. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that he had anything to do with his wife's first wife's death.
He's got a very full moustache.
Very.
And sort of beady eyes with little round glasses.
That's right. And if you went to the waxworks, Madame Tussauds waxworks, for years in London, Dr. Crippen was one of the most famous inhabitants of the House of Horrors, so to speak.
Okay, so he's moved to New York.
He's moved to
given
York.
His son to his parents.
That's right. And he's transferred. He starts up practicing in homeopathy in New York. He's quite successful. And meets another woman, Corinne Cora Turner, and marries her in 1894. Now, Cora was a vaudeville artist, a blousy vaudeville artist with a taste for alcohol and men. Quite what Dr. Crippen thought, I'm not sure. Her stage name was Bella Elmore.
Well, he was probably wowed by the glamour.
Glamour of it.
I mean, it's not unusual in Victorian times general thing.
We're talking about, you know, the footlights when they were still made with gas, you know, real flame in the footlights.
Well, want to go to the stage and see a beautiful woman performing and being...
But for reasons that are not entirely clear, in 1897, about 3 years after they married, Crippen transferred to England with Cora. But because he was qualified in America as a doctor, which he was, well qualified, he couldn't practice in England unless he got an English qualification. So, in fact, he went to work for a distributor of patent medicines and also managed Cora's career in the English Music Hall.
Oh.
Where she became...
Moderately
well known. It's just before the turn of the century. Music Hall is still a vibrant force.
Van der Siekle.
And she is, you know, quite a performer.
Oscar Wilde time.
Very
I
much
did so. A module in Van der Siekle when I did
yes.
my English degree.
Yes. So we have Crippen working for a distributor of patent medicines. And Cora, how can one put it, performing in various ways. Her attitude to monogamy was quite small. She was popular, to put it one way, particularly among other music hall artists. Eventually, in 1899, Munyans, the firm that Crippen was working for, sacked him for spending too much time managing Cora's stage career. Well, I can see how that might have happened. So he got a job as manager of Druitt's Institute for the Deaf. Unlikely, you might say, but it was regular work. And he was a, quotes, doctor, even though he wasn't qualified to practice medicine in this country.
Yeah.
And the following year, he employed a young typist called Ethel Leneve in 1900. She was 17 years old. Within 4 years, Crippen, who was considerably Ethel's senior, and Ethel embarked on an affair. And in 1905, Crippen and his wife Cora moved to a house on 39 Hilldrop Crescent on Camden Road in London. It's not there now. It's in fact a block of flats. But it was a semi-detached house, quite tall, quite high, steps up to the front door, a bit of a basement underneath, you know, good cellar underneath.
There's a lot of houses like that in Camden.
Yeah. And but, you know, it was, you can imagine it, quite. Well, Cora's appetite for cuckolding Crippen knew no bounds. They took in lodgers to help pay for the house. And she just went through the lodgers in a sort of relentless manner, which did nothing except increase Crippen's passion for Ethel Leneve. And on the evening of the 31st of January 1910, Cora, after a party has been held at Hilldrop Crescent, Cora disappears. Crippen tells everyone that she's gone to America with one of her lovers. Everybody believes him. But not long afterwards, Ethel Leneve moves in at Hilldrop Crescent and starts wearing Cora's jewellery and some of her clothes. So she hasn't taken all her clothes with her.
That's creepy. I wouldn't do that if I, usurped someone's life. Not that I would do that.
No, but Ethel didn't necessarily know what had happened to Cora.
Did she know it was Cora's jewellery?
Well, yes.
It must have done.
Must have done.
Oh, you were like, oh, well, she's just stopped and left, so...
So you can...
No big deal.
No big deal. Have what you like. She's gone off with her latest lover.
Yes. Oh, haven't I been hard done by?
Yes. Eventually, the police hear about Cora's disappearance from one of Cora's friends on the stage, the wonderful, it was a strong woman called Vulcania, which, and eventually, some months elapse, Crippen is interviewed by Chief Inspector Walter Dew.
Good names in this case.
Wonderful. Anyway, Dew interviews Crippen at some length and searches the house at Hilldrop Crescent. Crippen slightly changes his story and says to Dew, well, Cora's gone to America with her latest lover, and he names him. This is the first time the name has been given. And he knows she's not been in contact with me, and as far as I know, she's in New York or
wherever.
Chicago. And he tells Dew that he didn't admit that Cora had gone because he was embarrassed. He was ashamed that he'd been dumped for some other man. Well, Dew, upstanding, not used to this world at all, takes Crippen at face value. Well, okay, well, searches the house fairly peremptorily and goes away thinking that Crippen was telling the truth and about to report that to his colleagues at Scotland Yard. Here comes the terrible, terrible tragedy. Crippen and Ethel Leneve panicked. They didn't know that Dew was going to clear them. By this time, Ethel suspected something had been going on. Didn't know that Dew was actually going to report that they were innocent. And so they ran. They fled first to Brussels on the night after the interview, and then on to Antwerp, where they boarded a Canadian Pacific liner, the SS Montrose, which was bound for Canada.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ethel and Eve, by now, is disguised as a boy. And Crippen is calling himself Mr. Robinson. Now, had Crippen booked a third-class passage, it's highly unlikely that he would have come to the attention of the ship's captain. But as he was a saloon passenger, in other words, you know, second class rather than first class, and the captain made it his business to meet the better-off passengers, he sees Crippen. Now, by this time, it is abundantly clear to the police in London, who have informed other people, other police forces, as we would now say, Interpol, we've informed other police sources, and they've asked for help. And that instant was what makes Dr. Crippen's case so famous. The captain sends a wireless telegram to Scotland Yard, to indeed in ends in the hands of Chief Inspector Dew, saying that he believes he has Crippen and Ethel and Eve on his ship.
So just to be clear, when Walter Dew went off to the police station and Ethel and Dr. Crippen panicked,
yep,
and ran away to Brussels, at that point the police put out, yes, pictures of them, yep, everywhere, absolutely, and were absolutely like, these, yep, guys are...
Yes.
Yeah. So they assumed, because of their running, that they were responsible for Cora's disappearance,
yes,
in some
and it
way.
Should be, it's fair to say that by this time, a further search of the house at Hilldrop Crescent revealed a human torso buried under the basement floor, cement floor. Only a torso, no head, no arms and no legs. This is one of the most fascinating aspects of this case.
Right, so they found they run away. Walter Dew's been like, why did they run away? They must be up to no good.
So they go back.
Gone back to the house, found the torso, put out all the pics.
Yes.
Crippen's dressed up as Mr. Robinson, got on the boat, and the captain's like, "So I think I've got, I think I've got Crippen on my boat.
I think Dr. Crippen is on my boat, and I think that the
boy is not a boy,
not
but
a
girl.
But is Ethel Leneve. Dew, it's a great story this, Dew, knowing they're going to Canada, gets a faster liner than the SS Montrose so they can get to Canada before Crippen.
And how long would it take to take a boat? 2 weeks from
Montrose? Probably, I think it was 10 days, but I think you could do it in a week if you had a, you know, faster liner. Very romantic and rather glamorous, Dew was. And they're into the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Which is where?
Which is in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, towards the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And Dew is on a pilot boat, which is there to guide the SS Montrose, wow, to harbour, disguised as a pilot.
I love it.
Yes. And he gets on to the SS Montrose and confronts Crippen.
I'm looking up Walter Dew.
Crippen, so legend has it, said when Dew revealed himself, of course Crippen recognised him, Crippen said, "Thank God it's over. The suspense has been too great. I couldn't stand it any longer. And there is a very famous picture of Crippen and Dew, Crippen being escorted down the gangway, the gangplank of the SS Montrose.
I'm looking at it right now.
The first person ever to be caught by wireless telegraphy. Murderer ever to be caught by wireless telegraphy.
Oh, my word. So tell us what actually happened. Okay.
Yeah, give me time. They were actually arrested on board on the 31st of July 1910 and were returned to England to stand trial. There is a wonderful corollary here, an interesting little twist. Had Crippen taken a liner to New York instead of to Canada, he could have avoided arrest because it would have taken a very considerable amount of extradition to get him back to England. But because Canada was a British colony, he was brought back to England without any trouble at all. In October that same year, on the 18th in fact, Crippen entered the dock of the Old Bailey, charged with murder. But there was an incredible dispute about the evidence. The torso. Bernard Spilsbury, who was to become the most famous pathologist of the first half of the 20th century.
We've featured Spilsbury on our acid bath.
We have.
On our Brides in the Bath.
Yes. Spilsbury claimed that a scar on the abdomen of the torso was consistent with Cora's medical records, and that there was a poison called hyoscine in her system, which Crippen had bought from a local chemist. It was, in a sense, a drug to slow you down, like a very strong Valium, if you like, make you. Crippen's defence lawyer insisted that Cora had indeed gone to America with her lover, Bruce Miller, and that a previous owner of Hilldrop Crescent had put the torso in the basement, buried in the basement. I suspect it was Crippen's sheer fame that convinced the jury in the end, because the evidence was by no means utterly compelling.
Not concrete. But he had said he's glad it's over.
Yes, but that was only running away, theoretically. Crippen was found guilty in 27 minutes. But Leneve was acquitted of being an accessory. The jury accepted that she probably didn't know he'd done it. It's been a matter of speculation ever since about whether Ethel Leneve actually did know and whose was the body in the basement of Hilldrop Crescent.
HelloFresh is the UK's leading recipe box service, delivering fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. It's the easy, convenient way to cook delicious dinners from scratch every time. Choose your favourites from 19 recipes a week, including rapid recipes, ready in 20 minutes or less, family favourites, British and world cuisine, and even a lower calorie balance range. And because all their fresh ingredients come from their suppliers, pre-portioned for you, there's no food waste. Hey Dad, I wanted to tell you about HelloFresh. It's this recipe box service that I've tried. They deliver food to your door, you choose the recipes you want, and then everything comes pre-portioned with a recipe card, and you make it yourself. I found it really brilliant because I work such long hours, and they provide a special set of recipes which you can cook in under 20 minutes. So when I get home from work, I can make myself a delicious meal and still have an evening, which, as you know, isn't always easy.
I do know that, darling.
And the great news is that HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off four boxes. All you've got to do is visit hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code BLOODTIES when you check out. So you should definitely give it a go.
Oh, I'm going to give it a go. It's got so many benefits. I mean, I gather it has a flexible subscription with no minimum term, so you can change your delivery day and skip weeks to suit yourself. I think it sounds like a terrific idea. You can choose a range of cuisines. As you say, there are recipes to cook in 20 minutes. But they also do family-friendly recipes, world cuisine, something to suit everyone.
Yeah, and did you know on average a household has 6 recipes that they stick to? HelloFresh can help you get out of that cooking rut by giving you 19 different recipes to choose from a week.
So, as you say, it's great news. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off 4 boxes. Just go to hellofresh.co.uk and enter Blood Ties when you check out to enjoy really delicious dinners without the drama. Crippen was executed at Pentonville and buried in an unmarked grave. One of the most famous murderers of the first part of the 20th century. A man whose name lives on long after people have remembered what on earth he did or didn't do. Because the reason I was being slightly complicated about... There were all sorts of other explanations. At one stage, it was suggested that Crippen had accidentally given Cora an overdose and had panicked and cut her body up. Ethel and Eve, who, believe it or not, went on to become Ethel Smith and living in Croydon with 2 children and never told anyone that she was the Dr. Crippen's mistress. She lived in... Ethel and Eve is said to have said in 1930 that Crippen killed her because Cora had syphilis. And he couldn't stand it.
That's possible.
Crippen himself never explained before he went to his death at Pentonville on Wednesday, the 23rd of November.
My birthday.
Yes, 1910.
And Kay Van Novak's birthday.
Yeah, well, don't you think that's an interesting...
And Dennis Nielsen's birthday.
And Dennis Nielsen's birthday. We have yet to come to Dennis Nielsen.
I know.
There have been a series of subsequent examinations. But one thing I think is very touching is that Ethel and Eve asked for a photograph of her to be placed in Crippen's coffin.
Oh.
And she immediately emigrated on the day he was hanged to the US. In fact, she came back.
Because she lived in Croydon.
Well, she lived in Croydon and she got married in 1915.
Oh.
And she had 2 children. Called Nina and Bob, neither of whom knew that she was Ethel and Eve. The case to this day is still debated over. At one stage, there was a forensic examination said to establish that it wasn't a female torso at all, it was a male torso. And so it couldn't have been Cora, and perhaps Cora really was in America.
Were there ever any sort of sightings of Cora or anything like that?
Eventually, and not very long ago, the Criminal Cases Review Board declined to send Crippen's case to the Court of Appeal for a pardon. There are some people who are still convinced
he didn't do anything.
Crippen did not do anything. I leave it to the listeners and to you to make up your own mind.
Fascinating.
I think he was found guilty in 27 minutes because it had become such a cause célèbre.
Got hyped up. The world had decided.
I think the world...
And did the press... I wonder what it was like at the time, like whether the press got wind of the fact that Jew was getting on the boat. Because on the boat, they wouldn't get any news, would they?
No, but
back home, it could have been...
But the wireless telegraphy, clearly, and the famous photograph of Crippen coming off the Montrose... Mm. You know, these days, a judge, particularly in a murder case, will warn the jury, do not read the newspapers, do not listen to the television. The only evidence you must take seriously is in this courtroom.
Yeah, but they didn't do that back then, did they?
No. And there have been a number of cases in which I've been in court and, you know, jurors have found it very, very difficult to, you know, don't discuss it with anyone.
Mm.
No. And this is, in a sense, an example of where... It was trial by publicity, almost.
Yeah.
Crippen was so famous, and the photograph was so famous. I mean, he'd gone to quite a lot of trouble. I mean, he'd shaved off one moustache and started growing a beard, and Ethel was dressed up in boys' clothes, and he'd gone to quite a lot of trouble to, you know, look after himself. But it's still a wonderful case and a mystery, in a way.
Dr. Crippen.
Yes. It is one. It's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yes.
I like the old ones.
Yes.
I always do.
Yeah. Well, we'll do some more old ones.
Because they're not so grim.
Well, it's only one murder you see here. And indeed, was it a murder? Did she actually end up in the basement, or was she in Minnesota?
The mystery of Dr. Crippen.
Yes. She could have been in Minnesota with a new love.
Yeah. She could have been. Or with syphilis.
Or with syphilis.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay. Well, what about something cheery now? What are you going to do this?
What have I got that's cheery? I went to see Miles's play. That was very jolly.
Good.
I chatted to your friend David Gower.
Very good.
And everybody who I took to see it wanted to meet David Gower, so I had to keep going up to him and being like, hello, please can I introduce you to more people?
He's very good at that.
He's very charming.
He's a very good man.
He's very charming.
And he takes it all sort of wonderfully lightly. He thinks it's all hugely funny most of the time.
Yes, he's asking me if I thought he could do some acting.
Well, he probably could, knowing David. He loves dressing up, you know. He used to wear a turban in the house.
Really?
Yes, oh yes, proper.
Oh.
Oh, no, and he has all sorts of Turkish shoes and...
Oh,
oh yes.
Like you in your fez?
Yes, I was wearing my fez this morning, actually.
Were you?
Yes.
I'll be back out again as soon as the winter months come round.
Yep, I had it on. I was enjoying it.
Very good, very good.
What else was I going to do this coming week? I was invited to lunch by the Bedford Estate because I live in Bloomsbury and I collaborated with them in making a video.
When's that video? How are we going to watch it?
I think it's only being shown to certain people. I'll find out on Wednesday.
See if you can get a copy.
I will, yeah. I haven't seen it myself yet.
Oh.
No, I mean, I've just been invited to lunch to thank me.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Well, that will be jolly.
I hope so. Look forward to it.
Be nice. Very
to be
nice.
Honest. And
nice.
There's plenty of books to keep me going.
As usual.
As usual. I did go to Cornwall, which was very nice. Went to stay in Padstow.
How was that?
Very.
Did you go to a Rick Stein restaurant?
No, I did not go to a Rick Stein restaurant. Thank you. I stayed at a very nice hotel called the Old Custom House, which is right on the quay, which has an excellent restaurant, an oyster bar, and a very good bar. And it's a very nice place to be. And Padstow is delicious. And we went out in a boat down the river Camel.
Oh, fun.
And
you had such good weather.
Well, it wasn't as good there as it was here. No, it was a bit cloudy. But it was okay. It was fine.
Was it rainy?
No rain.
No rain.
No rain.
Okay, that's
but
good.
But the most extraordinary thing about Padstow, which I absolutely adored, I thought was lovely, is how many dogs there were. There were dogs
people
everywhere.
Love dogs, Dad.
Yeah, but I've never in one place seen so many dogs being walked.
Well, it's really nice if you live in the country to have a dog.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I think in one 30-minute perambulation from down from what leads towards the lower beach and back into town and round, I counted 100 dogs.
100? 100. That is a lot.
I mean, it was almost bizarre.
Too many?
Well, I don't know. I'm fond of dogs, but there were an awful lot of them.
A lot of dogs.
And they were all, you know, looking at each other. And
Betsy would have hated that. She does not much like other dogs.
I thought of Betsy at that point.
I'll take a picture of Betsy in her current position because it's quite funny. So you can see, listeners, what she gets up to while we're recording. It's not up to much.
No. Betsy's...
I'd say...
quiet, put it that way.
She's well, low energy.
Well, darling, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who helps us out.
Thank you for listening, and please do tell your friends. We want to attract even more listeners if we possibly can. And as I always say, do be careful out there.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.